Blog Talk Radio.
Mr. Pop.
Views and opinions of this show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this network and its affiliates.
Call me Kimmy. If this is your first time listening to us, we welcome you to our show. If you're a returning listener, we are so happy to have your continued support. Tonight's episode, we're going to be discussing the NHL and the Olympics. That seems to be a very hot topic. We're also going to be doing the Men's Frozen Four tournament, which happens tomorrow night, and answering as many questions as we can get to this week. If we don't get to them, then, you know, just be patient with us. We'll get to them next week. And so if you guys want to call in and talk to us, the number here is 646-668-8467. You can also email us compliments, complaints, questions, suggestions. Our email is stayoutofmycrease@gmail.com. We are also on Facebook at Stay Out of My Crease, and then we're on Twitter at Stay Out of Crease. We are also syndicated on Arena Sports Network on Thursday nights, and we are now available for download on iTunes. So we kind of announced that last week. So I'm going to go ahead and bring in Jimmy because we've got a lot to get to and only an hour and a half to do it. Good evening.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about. How are you doing, Jimmy?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. I want to bring up one thing before we get on to the other things that are supposed to be on topic, and that is last night the Wild played at home. And in honor of the 50th anniversary season, and, you know, 50 years ago there were six teams that were brought in: the Oakland Seals, the Los Angeles Kings, the Pittsburgh Penguins, the Philadelphia Flyers, the St. Louis Blues, and the Minnesota North Stars. And a lot of those teams are still around, you know, four of them. But the teams that are not, you know, you get a little bit of, well, if you live up here, you get a little bit of the, you know, why did we lose them kind of thing. And, you know, there's a lot of, you know, allegedly that happens with that. But they wore the North Stars sweaters yesterday for warm-ups in honor of the 50th season, because it's the last home game of the Wild play this year. So they wore the North Star sweaters. Zach Parise, his dad, J.P. Parise, was originally drafted by the Oakland Seals, and then he had a cup of coffee with the Bruins, and then he played quite a few seasons with the North Stars, and then the North Stars were stupid and let him go because he was getting older. And then he went to the Islanders and won a cup. And, you know, Wild apparently didn't learn that by getting rid of Matt Cullen, because he left and won the cup in Pittsburgh. But anyway, to make a short story long, Zach was – he contacted his mother, and he's like, well, you know, I would really like to wear, you know, dad's gloves and, dad, you know, maybe dad's helmet and maybe dad's jersey. Because J.P. Parise also wore the number 11 when he played for the North Stars. So they were able to find that in I guess, a crate in the attic or something. I don't know what it was. But so his helmet was old school, you know, 1980-something, you know, 84, I think it was, when Zach – when JP finally, you know, I think it was even later than that, when he finally hung the skates up. And it was kind of neat to have him be able to wear his father's equipment, you know, while wearing the same jersey that he wore with the same number.
Yeah. And that's something very, very special. You told me about it last night, and I ended up having to actually look it up because they didn't show it on, because I wasn't watching your game last night, so I didn't get to see it. But when I looked it up and I read everything behind it, I was just like, wow, how special, you know, to be wearing his dad's glove and his helmet, and that was just kind of a tearjerker, honestly. But what a way to honor his dad.
Yeah, and William, his dad just passed, you know, a year and a half ago, and, you know, his dad's pretty instrumental in, you know, a lot of the younger players. You know, they're not younger anymore, but a lot of the players that play in the NHL, you know, J.P. Parisi had a lot to do with them, you know, at Shattuck St. Mary's. So.
Right. Yeah, he actually, Parisi actually was very well known for his time there because he had a lot of players that a lot of people don't realize came through him.
Well, you know, and two of the better ones are Taves and Crosby, you know, people don't realize that, you know, got their senior year in high school in Minnesota, you know, at Shattuck St. Mary's. So, you know, he had a lot to do with that. So, but I think it was fun. It was interesting to see just how dang bright those green uniforms used to be compared to the dark green ones that the Wild wear now, you know, and I don't even know what color the Dallas people wear, but you know, it was cool to see in warm-ups. And what they did is they gave away to charity kids the jerseys. Every player that, you know, was on the ice signed their jersey and gave it to, you know, their warm-ups and their regular jersey, and gave it away to a kid. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, it definitely was. It was. And, you know, I actually, it was so funny because I actually had to ask you last night. They were green and white, right? Because I vaguely remember that.
Right. Green and white with the yellow trim. And you should remember that.
With the yellow trim.
Because the North Stars played the Penguins back when in the old Lemieux Yager days, and they played it for the Stanley Cup. So,
yeah. And speaking of Yager, I read an article on him today, and he is planning on playing until he is 50.
Yeah, it was funny because originally it was said by a newspaper in Czechoslovakia that he was not going to return for another year, and he was like, well, that's stupid. I'm going to play until they tell me I can't play anymore. So, and why not? Look at the level he plays at. You know, even at his age, it's unbelievable. So
yes, it is. It is. I'm shocked. You know, because I watched him from when he was that young, reckless kid driving fast cars and getting speeding tickets to just this awesome player in his 40s. So for me, the progression of seeing, you know, I tell you, the day that Yager retires, I don't care if he's not a Penguin anymore, the day he retires, I will probably shed real tears. Because
right.
He is just,
well,
you know, he's been playing hockey almost as long as I've been watching hockey. So.
I was going to say that too. I was going to say he's probably been playing hockey longer than you've actually really been following the sport. But you know, the day he retires, he should be one of those next year I'm in the Hall of Fame kind of players, like, you know, like Gretzky and Howe and Orr was, you know.
Right.
You know, they make a big deal about plus minus, you know, as far as, you know, are, you know, what's your plus minus or whatever. And Ryan Suter for the Wild right now, I think, I don't know if he's at 34 or 36. I know it's one of those rounded off numbers or whatever, but
36.
Okay. Well, Bobby Orr in, I think it was the 71, 72 season, He was a plus 126.
Okay. Yeah, he was. And you know what? They were just talking about that during the Capitals game because Doc's announcing. And a lot of people don't like Doc. I love him because he gives so much useless information that you just kind of pick up on it. But,
Well, people don't like Doc because they have Homer hockey and they listen to their own announcers. And, you know, it's all about my team, my team, my team. Whereas, you know, when you have a national broadcast, you know, they're not picking either team, you know, and nobody's the best in the world like they are in the NFL. I mean, if you watch the NFL on Fox, you know, everybody's the best player ever at every position or what have you, or even in baseball. But hockey is not that way. You know, they tend more focus on, you know, where the kid came from, you know, what's his roots, and they give you information that is, you know, I don't know, more relevant and more important to the non-casual hockey fan. And if you're a casual hockey fan, you know, listen, and you know, you'll learn some stuff.
Right. And sometimes they just kind of sneak it in. But they were talking about that on the Capitals broadcast, and it was, you were correct, it was 1971 and 1972. So,
yeah, and you know what? People still wear the number 4, and nobody gets upset about it, you know?
Right.
People get upset about the number 66. I don't get that, but whatever.
I find it just, and I guess I kind of side with Mario Lemieux on that, where it's an honor that somebody cares and followed you so much and idolized you so much through their career, they want to wear your number. To me, that's flattering. I mean, I'm sure if Gretzky's number was still available and somebody wore number 99, that he would feel flattered too. I mean, I'm not speaking for Gretzky, of course, because I don't know him, but, you know, I guess you just kind of have to look at it that way. But, yeah, they were talking about Bobby Orr and Ryan Suter on that game. So I found that, I'm glad you brought that up, because that was one of those weird stats that Doc likes to throw out.
Right, and he's good at those, you know, That's why he's so much fun to watch, you know, listen to or what have you. And that's why the games that happen on Wednesday nights are usually really good, and we get to miss half of them because we're talking to each other. So
I know. And next week the playoffs start, and I bet any amount of money both of our teams play next Wednesday night. That would just be our luck. Because it seems to always happen.
For my team, it'll be nice because we'll actually get, you know, more than one day off a couple times. So,
right.
Because, you know, we've been playing, you know, every other day and then sometimes twice a day, you know, back to back or whatever. So the playoff grind that most people talk about, you know, for the Wild will be, that'll be a piece of cake because it'll be, you know, actually we get time off. This is cool.
True. You know, I'm going to delay a little bit because I think one of the guys that had commented under our Facebook page about the NHL and the Olympic thing, I think he's going to call in. So I'm trying to delay a little bit. So I wanted to go into something that I saw on social media this week. And I keep seeing where a team wins and seems like every time that a team wins, it's always, oh, it was just this one person that totally single-handedly won the game for this team. So, you know, I think you agree with me. It's a combination of the players that play on the ice. It's not the coach that wins the games because he does not go out and execute. So what are your feelings on that?
Well, to take it back to the Stanley Cup from last year, I clearly thought that, you know, it was game 3 or game 4, it was Malkin that won that game. He was so dominant on both ends of the ice. One player can take that game over, but he didn't. He only played, 45 seconds at a time, a minute at a time. There was a lot of other players that contribute to it, and it's a different kind of sport than a lot of people are used to that don't necessarily follow the game. You're not out there the whole time like you are in, baseball or basketball or even football. You have four lines and you have three D pairs, and you're rotating in all the time, and you don't do it at a timeout. You do it on the fly. So you have to have all of your players playing well, and sometimes it's this line that works better at this point of the game, and sometimes it's that line that works better at that point of the game, or sometimes it's this D pair, or sometimes it's this team that steps up for the special teams for your power play or your penalty kill. So it is a completely team game. You don't have individual players that excel. I mean, you have them. I mean, don't get me wrong. You have your Ovechkins, you have your Crosbys, you have other players that play well and set the rest of your team up. But without the rest of the team, those players, it doesn't matter what they do. You got to have players that are, you got to have the whole team that's doing well.
Right. Okay, so we have a couple of callers on the line, and I think they're going to want to talk about the elephant in the room. The NHL has decided not to go to the 2018 Olympics. My biggest fear on this whole subject is that we're going to see another NHL lockout, which I don't think the NHL can afford, because it took them a while to bounce back from the last one. So... I'm going to go ahead and take our first caller, and we'll see if I'm right. You're on the air with Kim and Jimmy. Who's this?
Hey, this is Chris.
Hey, Chris. How are you?
Doing all right.
Now, I know you from Facebook, and I know you want to rant, so feel free.
It's not really a rant. It's just this is the dumbest idea the NHL could ever have. I mean, they're, like you said, it could go into another lockout, but they're still fighting to get back from the last lockout. So they need as many people as they can get. They need more people to come over to hockey, and the Olympics only opens you up to the true hockey fan is always going to be at hockey, but your whole goal is to pull people who aren't hockey fans over to hockey. And the Olympics does that right in the middle of the season. It's like you get playoff hockey right in the middle, and hopefully those people stay on. It doesn't make any sense to say, well, we don't want to do it.
Right.
That's the first thing. The second thing is Alex Ovechkin and foreign players, they're going to do it anyway. They already said they're going to do it. And foreign players, they care more. Russians care more about the Olympics than they care about the Stanley Cup.
Well,
so you're...
Yeah, Chris, this is Jim. The president of the Russian Olympic team or the Hockey Federation or what have you has said that Ovechkin's going to have to resign from the NHL and join the KHL in order to play. And that's what a lot of the countries have done, saying, you have to actually, resign and retire in order to play, which I think is ridiculous.
As an American, that's fantastic.
I think Chris is a Rangers fan, so he feels the same way as I do.
I'm saying as an American, as for the USA team, if Ovechkin can't play because he's in the NHL, that's fantastic. I'm all for that. Don't let him play. as far as our guys
he's
go,
probably the best player on the planet. So,
absolutely.
The thing to agree with you 100%. I think it's ridiculous that the NHL is not allowing these players to play. And you know, their biggest thing was, you know, when we want to take the 3-week break. Well, you know, we took the week break at the start of the season this year to play in the World Hockey Championship, which was sponsored by the NHL. And then every team got at least a week off. So there's 2 weeks. And so you're not really compressing the schedule any more than you did this year for next year.
Right.
So I'm not buying the compressed schedule thing. I'm buying the fact that they're just trying to squeeze the players.
Right.
I think you're right. I think you're so right about that. But you're not even squeezing the players because guys like TJ Oshie, nobody knew who he was until the Olympics. And then followed him.
He's from Minnesota. He played in North Dakota.
Yeah,
well,
Jimmy knows everything.
I'm saying nationally, nobody knew who TJ Oshie was until the Olympics, and then nationally he hit it big, and he was a huge guy. So I mean, it's such a promotion for the league that I think they're trying to do is squeeze money out of the Olympics and say you need to compensate us more because we're giving up our season.
Right.
Well,
the other thing they're trying to do
is they're trying to get the players' union to extend the contract that they have, and they even offered that. They said, you know, if you extend it out to, you know, another 4 years, you know, well, you play in the Olympics this year and the next one. It's all about greed. It's all about greed and ownership, and there's a lot of players and a lot of owners that are really, really upset with this decision.
Right. And, you know, I posed this question on social media too. And a couple of the answers that I got kind of agree with both you and Chris. Ryan Josh said, I think it sucks. Most players in the league love to play for their country and have always wanted to. So it's kind of a shame for them, especially the rookies, as it would be also a good experience for them, like the World Cup was. And then this one, I like this opinion. This came from Terry Robitaille. And he said, it's a wrong move, in my opinion.
Is that Luke Robitaille's kid?
I have no idea.
Do you remember Luke Robitaille?
Vaguely, yes. But he said that the NHL is going to China to expand the game by playing some exhibition games, but won't go to South Korea for the Olympics. To me, this makes no sense at all, since the NHL is saying they don't see the positives in going. But in saying that, I do get the owner's side of not wanting to go, and also the NHLPA for wanting their players to showcase their talent on the world's biggest stage, which would greatly benefit the NHL. So
well,
it's just such a farce.
It's over. If they just said, "Look, pay us more money," I would believe them more, because that's all they're
right.
saying. All the owners are saying is, we need to be compensated for interrupting our season. And if they were just honest about it, I think everybody would be like, "Yeah, sure."
Right.
I don't even know if it's all about that. It's not about the 3 weeks the players are going to be gone and the compensation there. The owners are going the high road, on the contract extension or the agreement. So the players' union can't renegotiate, and they have to stick with what they have right now. And you know, things have changed since that, you know, the agreement got put in place. And, you know, the players' union is smart enough to know that, you know, we can do this. And the players' union is also smart enough to know that if they want to play, they're going to play, regardless of
right.
what the league says.
Right, they're going to find a way.
Well,
yeah, because I had read an article. Go ahead.
The owner's excuse the owner's excuse was that last time they went, they didn't see a bump in ticket sales from after the Olympics. That was their original excuse for not wanting to do it, was they didn't see a bump in ticket sales. So that right there tells me it's all about money.
Oh, I agree completely. You know, and you follow the money on it. But the thing is, you know, you have players that are playing that are. NHL is probably the most diverse league of any league of the, you know, professional sports leagues as far as where players come from. And to me, it's just a shame that they can't go back to their home countries and play, you know. They allowed that to happen in the World Hockey Classic, you know, that was up in Toronto and in Montreal. But they won't allow it to happen in the Far East. And I think that's probably because another reason is because it's different time zone and they won't be able to actually televise the games live and get any kind of viewership out of it. And I think that's the one of the other things that's kind of hanging in there.
Right. Now, we just had a comment on Facebook, and this is from Jeff Main. And he says, who cares if the NHL prefers to not let players go? I don't hear anyone complaining about the Miracle on Ice now, do you? How many from there were NHL players? That's what makes this much, much more awesome.
That was a U.S. thing. There were Russian players on there. That was the whole point, was that we had an amateur team against Russian professionals. That's the whole point of the Miracle on Ice.
Right. And that, you know, that was a big thing on the social media aspect, is people wouldn't feel as upset over this if the Olympics were still true amateurs only. Tim Wilson said, if the rule was still true amateurs only, I'd have no problem with it. This issue is other countries can have players who are in pro leagues in their countries playing, which puts the U.S. and Canada at a disadvantage in the Olympics.
Well, the big reason they went to the fact that they were going to allow the professional hockey players to play was the ski team was getting incredible endorsements, and they were getting paid, and so they were almost professionals. So in order to make it legitimate for those players to be able to get, you know, skiers to be able to get money, they had to let the professional hockey players play here in the States, and that's why the whole thing changed. It had nothing to do with amateurs or politics or any of that kind of stuff. It had everything to do with, you know, making sure the rest of the sports that don't get paid, you know, on an NHL or NCAA level, making sure that they got their money and it wasn't a conflict of interest.
Right. And that makes sense. I mean, there are a couple people that, you know, had answered the question on social media that kind of agree with Jeff. And, you know, Jeff Pullen said that he feels the Olympics needs to be for amateurs only. So it was kind of split, and I was really surprised that it was as split as it was. You know, Tay had said, I don't like it because I don't think a person should be denied the chance to represent their country in an event that only happens every four years. So, yeah, this is going to be something for us to watch on the off season, because like Chris had said when he first came on the show here, I even said it, my gut feeling is this is going to cause another lockout because the players aren't going to be happy.
What about this as a solutions-oriented guy here? What if they put a cap on it? As far as
Are you talking age-wise?
I'm talking like, all right, if you've been in the league for X amount of years, you can't go. Well, if you've been in the league for under 5 years, you can go. I mean, that way you're solving the kind of amateur thing, and you're building the players who aren't really that important to a team might be able to get to go. You might have one or two that, you know, are rookies that are dominating, but you're not going to have the dominant players leaving the NHL, and, you know, maybe the NHL will be able to do that.
That might not be a bad
solution.
Yeah,
I don't know if I like that. I don't like that because I still can't see Connor McDavid and Sid Crosby playing on the same line, and that's something that would be really fun to watch for Team Canada. And
That's true.
There are so many things that – so many aspects of not allowing the players to play that are denying the rest of us that you just like to watch hockey, you know. And, you know, if I lose 3 weeks of the NHL season, you know, I can lose three weeks, you know. We lost, like I said, we lost 2 weeks this year, so that's only one more week next year. So what's the big difference? And we get to play on the highest stage.
Yeah, I think the most comical thing I read was the fact that Gary Bettman would have been okay with it if they played in the summer. But it's hockey. When does ice get cold in the summer?
No.
You know, that was the most comical thing I read.
We have cold ice. We have cold ice here year round, so it doesn't really matter. But
yeah, but you're up there.
Well, you can cool the building and, you know, and cool the rink, and as long as you keep it, you know, aired out, you're fine. It doesn't really matter. But
I don't see the Summer Olympics being a place for ice hockey.
Well, then you're gonna get the same argument from the owners that you're gonna get. You're gonna say, why would we want these guys playing extra, taking extra hits, you're gonna get that argument from the owners saying we don't want to let our guys out of contracts because they're gonna if they get injured. It's just, but
right.
Look at the World Hockey Championship.
That's just on top of the stupidity.
You know,
of the
you look
idea.
At the World Hockey Championships that happened and. Sid Crosby had a concussion, and wasn't Matthew Murray hurt too? And
Murray had a broken hand.
Yeah, so I mean, that happened then, but that was okay because that was sanctioned by the NHL. And they made money off that. So, you know, follow the dollar signs.
Right, exactly. Well, Chris, we really appreciate you calling in and giving us your opinion. We have another caller on the line, so I'm going to go ahead and take this call as next. But thank you thank you for listening.
Have a great show.
Thank you. All right, Jimmy, we're going to go ahead and take our next caller. You're on the air with Kim and Jimmy. Who's this?
This is Farmer. What's going on, guys?
Hey, Farmer. How are you?
Oh, my man, chomping over here at the bit. I just think Jimmy wants to take credit for TJ Oshie from living in Minnesota. He's actually from Mount Vernon, Washington, so.
Yeah, but he lived here.
Okay.
Well,
now, I'm just giving you a hard time
there, Jimmy.
Well, it's just like Matt Cullen
was born
in Virginia, Minnesota, but he lived his life in Moorhead, Minnesota. So it's like, yeah, is he from Virginia or Moorhead? Yeah, I would probably go with Moorhead. You know, it's one of those things. So
I just had to, you know, have like, here's Jimmy just trying to give more credit to Minnesota than what they actually deserve. But, hey, it's okay.
Right.
Yep.
So
I know you
first
want
thing
to talk-
I, Well, yeah, that there, I do, yes, but I guess how I look at the pros playing in the Olympics is let some of these unheard people from like the minors, you know, play. You know, I'm all about the pros playing pro, and let some of the minors and just some unknown kids be seen, and that's an awesome way to actually scout talent. So I'm okay with the, you know, with the pros actually not playing in the Olympics, personally.
Well, yeah, that's what the Olympics used to be.
Because you live in Washington now, and you have no pro talent out there.
Well, I do have, you know, I do have Brock Besser up there in Vancouver. So, you know, I'm going to start, you know, paying attention to them now. You know, so we have some WHL teams here around me that's locally that aren't, you know, it's like probably watching peewee hockey there in Minnesota and North Dakota. But hey, it's still skates and pucks and hockey sticks.
Well, how about Brock Besser coming down from, you know, he played with North Dakota, and how about him coming down the next day, driving down from Fargo down to St. Paul and then scoring a goal in his first game? How cool was that? That had to be some Fighting Sioux pride there, huh?
Oh, there was definitely. And especially, you know, in front of his parents and his family, and, you know, playing for North Dakota one day, trying to win another national championship and fell short. To scoring a goal, you know, your first time. And that goal was pretty, too. It was definitely a very pretty goal.
Well, it wasn't a cheapie at all. It was a good goal. And, you know, and it had to be cool because, you know, him growing up, you know, the Wild were his team. So, you know, playing against them but playing in the XL, that, you know, that had to be a good experience for him. And that was fun. And, you know, and you can admit that, you know, even from North Dakota, you can admit that the Wild are your team, and how fun it is to for kids like that to be able to just jump from one day playing college hockey and then the next day they're playing pro.
No, well, yeah, I think that's any kid's dream there. It doesn't matter what stadium you play in, and then just to, you know, score a goal. So it's a you know, and then to do it, you know, in his home state against his team and everything else like that, it was definitely a very touching moment for Brock.
Right.
But Jimmy, the reason why I called is that there's a certain college that I hold near and dear to my heart that has kind of peed me off. By actually canceling their women's college hockey.
Yeah, I don't know why they did that.
You know, from the standpoint, they haven't made any money. They're like $1.2 million in debt from the program. They've only sold since the program has been around about $25,000 worth of tickets. There's no national championships. This is what I've been reading coming out of Grand Forks and some jabronis that I just want to go back home and beat the living hell out of, but I won't. but here's my take on it. So they need $1.2 million to roughly run that program successfully. Now, if we raise ticket prices by, I don't know, $5, $6, that stadium holds, or I'm sorry, that arena holds, you know, close to 20,000 people. Raise ticket prices just a little bit, and I know the people of Grand Forks and of North Dakota will pay it just to watch hockey. You can almost make up the $1.2 million by just adding an additional $5 on top of what they're paying right now.
Hmm. Well, wow. What the University of Minnesota did was when they decided to have the women's program, they built a new arena, Ritter Arena, kind of across the street from the Mooch where the men's team plays, and it seats about 8,000. No, I think it seats 4,000, and so it was easier to get more fans in and make the stadium feel more lively. And if you're trying to put the college women's game into a 20,000 seat arena, it's going to seem empty. So when you go to the game, you don't experience the same effect that you do when you go to a smaller arena. And that's what a lot of the more successful teams have done. You know, they've done that in Wisconsin, you know, too. You know, and you get that where you can keep your program going on a smaller scale with your arena, because and then when you have your bigger games, like when, say, Wisconsin and Minnesota play, they play in the bigger rinks. But you can get your fan base to come in more, because it's a more lively crowd. And I don't think they got that up in North Dakota. And I think that instead of just scrapping the program, they, you know, could have moved on to, you know, Division III or what have you, and then, you know, worked on getting a different stadium built on campus. What do you think, Farmer?
Well, I don't think that there is any way that the University of North Dakota would build another hockey stadium, especially with the Ralph as, you know, state of the art that it is. My take on this is that the school is hurting financially, hardcore financially. And in my eyes, it's because the alumni and other contributors to the school aren't liking what the administration has done in the past 3 to 4 years.
Well, and I think a lot of that has to do, Farmer, I think a lot of that has to do with the fact of the game change.
You said it, not me. Yes, I can vouch for that 100%. I'm not going to change this segment into a beating drum segment. But
way to pimp your show there.
I know, right? Find that on Fridays, 4:30, same phone number, 646-668-8467.
That's all right.
Yeah, you do. But, you know, so if you look at it from a logo symbol, nobody wants to be an effing hawk. No one even liked it. So the alumni aren't going to pay for it. The alumni aren't going to go into anywhere on campus and start spending their money. So what the University of North Dakota needs to do, they need to reinstate the name. They need to reinstate the symbol, and they need to get rid of Kennedy and every other jabroni and actually cut administration dollars instead of cutting funding for sports. Because it's not fair.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know a whole lot of the insides of that, but, you know, I could see that. I saw that happening when they changed the name. I was really surprised that they actually got through changing the name. I don't know how much the logo changes have been inside the realm. I haven't been up there since they've changed it.
None.
So, which is good. Which is good, you know, because, you know, he owns the building. So it's a shame that so much of this comes into – so much politics comes into into play for girls that want to play hockey. And
right.
Which we saw with the U.S. women. You know, they weren't going to play in the World Cup tournament because of, you know, politics and the financial side of the politics. You know, so, yeah, it is. It's really sad that politics are brought so much into sports.
So my next question, Jimmy, is they cut a women's program, and they have to be equal women's versus men programs. What men's program is going to get cut?
Oh, probably rowing or something like that.
I was going to say, don't think they're going to cut the men's hockey team.
They're not cutting the hockey team. No, so that's the only program they have that does well. So they're not cutting mad. So
no,
they'd cut the football team before they cut the hockey team. So
yeah, that's the truth.
Yeah, I don't know how this Title IX is gonna work with them. It's going to be interesting. It's difficult to field a women's college hockey team. Period.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are only like three or four women's college hockey teams that matter. You know, Duluth, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Clarkson. That's it.
True.
Those are the only teams that have ever won. So if you're going to cut a sport, it's probably going to be, you know, women's college hockey, especially if you have to spend that much money. But my thinking is, why can't you build a little rink? You know, I mean, God, every little town in Minnesota has a rink that, you know, can seat up to 6,000.
So does Grand Forks.
Why? What?
Yeah, and so does Grand Forks. There in Grand Forks, you have the Fido Purpura Arena, which holds, I want to say, anywhere between 3,000 to 4,000 people. You have, you know, so they could do that. But another thing, why don't they just make it a club?
Why don't they play there and build the fan base? You know, that's one of the things that I don't understand is, you know,
I agree.
You try to bring these, you know, the women's college hockey into these areas that, you know, and, you know, that's definitely a hockey area, but, you know, you're not going to get the same amount of fans that you do for the men's game. So why don't you just put them in a smaller rink and build the atmosphere and then put them in the bigger rink later?
Right. You know, or just make it a club, Jimmy. You know, there's a lot of schools out there that, you know, can't afford like a major football. You know, I'm not talking a Division I schools by any means, but a, you know, a D3 school or something like that. Why don't they just make women's hockey a club?
Yeah, well, and they probably will, and that's a shame because North Dakota is a proud, you know.
Right. Chris,
club.
Who had called in earlier, he said that in his opinion, it's not about the number of that a college has; it's about the scholarship athletes. That's a good point.
True.
Now,
I'm
not familiar.
And North Dakota had one lovely lady flying over from, oh my God, I want to say it's New Hampshire, if I'm not mistaken, or somewhere there on the East Coast, to sign her paperwork to, you know, play for the University of North Dakota. She got there, and she was told, "I'm sorry, they no longer have a women's hockey program."
I bet she'll go to Duluth.
Probably.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, because I hate to say it that way, but you know, I mean, that would probably be a good fit for her. She's coming over to play.
Well, and that's where Duluth and Wisconsin and Minnesota and Clarkson and now even Boston University kind of stepped up a little bit more. They're actually able to recruit the gals to come in to play hockey, but they're giving them academic scholarships because you don't have that many athletic scholarships. So you give them academic scholarships and hope they, you know, don't flunk out.
Right. It's just ridiculous that a school in an area is cutting hockey, especially there in North Dakota. And it's just, but it's nice to see that the a senator is starting to get on it. It's also nice to see the Twins that won't back down in really pushing the president there. You know, President Mark Kennedy, who's a bigger douchebag than the other D-bag that just left, but. And he pretty much said, you know, I don't know, I believe I sent it to Kim to post on your guys' page of the letter that he wrote back to them. It was just very, mundane. It was just kind of like, well, good luck. It's not going to happen anyway, in so many words.
Right.
Just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's really kind of sad, you know, especially as a female myself, to see a female sports program get cut. It kind of hurts because, you know, I pull for the females. And, you know, where does that – I mean, of course, there are some really good college women's teams that are will not cut their program at all. But it just makes a smaller place for these women to have choices to go.
It does. Very true, Kim.
That's the saddest thing.
Very, very true. And, you know, shame on the president and shame on his staff to actually approve of getting rid of North Dakota hockey.
Well, you know, Farmer, I'm a Gopher fan, and before that I was a Bulldog fan. And so I've never liked North Dakota.
Well, you downgraded. I don't know how you downgraded Minnesota, but you downgraded. But okay, carry on.
On the men's side. Well, I grew up in Duluth. And, you know, just north of Duluth. I grew up in unorganized territory number 2 of Lake County. But I understand where you're going with this, and I don't understand where that university is going with this. And it's tragic. Like you say, it's not not a good thing. It's never going to be a good thing, and it's going to be really tough to come back from it because, you know, the gals are never going to trust that the university is going to continue to support hockey. So,
correct.
Kids are going to go other way, you know, they're going to go to, you know, even Bemidji or Mankato State or, you know, Wisconsin or whatever, the kids from Minnesota, you know, or North Dakota or Wisconsin are going to go there. And
right.
It's not right.
Right. It's not, you know, and I see it as, you know, like I said, I see it as a very sad case for females, for the female hockey players, because I'm sure Jimmy remembers when there was even probably a smaller sample size of where these girls could go play hockey, and they ended up playing on men's teams at times, you know. And I just started watching women's college hockey, and I instantly fell in love with it because it's such a different game.
Well, it's way more fun to watch because they, you know, it's a game that's played, you know, between the boards instead of against the boards, like the men's game is. And it's so much fun to watch because they're so quick and, you know, they can outskate most of the men, and they cannot shoot most of the men, but they can outskate most of the men. So you get different opportunities, and because they're playing in the center of the ice instead of playing against the boards. And, you know, and for me, that's, you know, that's more fun to watch.
Exactly. Exactly. I think we have lost Farmer. So, I don't know whether he lost signal, if he'll call back or whatnot, but we'll just continue on with our show here. but, I mean, we're on the college topic, so we might as well stay there. And we'll go ahead and go to our first question, Jimmy. And that is, for those of us, and this is from Howard. And he said, for those of us who are new to the college side via your show, could you do a breakdown of the matchups for the Frozen Four tournament tomorrow? That's a really good question.
Yes, it is. Your thoughts first.
Okay, well, I know the one that I'm interested in seeing is, I think it's actually the first game, and that's the Minnesota Duluth and Harvard game. And I'm excited to see that game because of the fact that they are so similar going into this game. They're so evenly matched. I had mentioned a little bit last week, both have won national championships, both in overtime in St. Paul, Minnesota. The Crimson beat Minnesota in 1989, and the Bulldogs beat Michigan in 2011. They both won their conference playoff championship. Minnesota Duluth actually has a 9-4 record against Harvard, but they haven't played since December 1996. So this should be very interesting. They've also won their respective state or city championships this season. Harvard won the Bean Pot tournament, and Minnesota Duluth won the North Star College Cup. So that's the matchup that I'm interested in seeing.
You have a lot of stats.
Thank you. I do a little research once in a while.
Right. Well, Harvard scores a lot of goals. But they play in the ECAC, and you know, and you can do that there. Duluth plays in the NCHC, and that's a lot tougher conference. As evidenced by you know two teams being in there. Duluth plays a more defensive style, but they play more trying to react to what you did. And Harvard's a really good team. Harvard has a lot of really good scorers on their team.
And they are on a 16-game win streak.
Yeah, but they haven't won a championship in 20. They haven't won a championship in like 23 years. So,
23 years, right. This is their 10th time in.
Yeah, and, but Duluth is a strong club, but they have their nights off. I've watched them quite a few times this year. Yeah, I've only watched Harvard a couple times. Duluth has their nights off where they don't necessarily play Duluth hockey. They kind of, I don't know. It's like they're resting, and I'm hoping that doesn't happen for them in the tournament because I'd like to see a really good game between them and Harvard. But there always is that a possibility that could happen. In the other game, you know, you got Denver and Notre Dame, and you know, on paper, Denver should win.
Right.
But
anything can happen in hockey.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, and
well,
Denver.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, you know.
I didn't expect Notre Dame to beat Duluth, beat Minnesota. And I didn't expect Notre Dame to beat Massachusetts Lowell, but they did.
Right.
So I'm not giving up on Notre Dame, you know. I mean, if you look at the bracket for the Frozen Four, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, and 12. So Notre Dame has done something to get into this bracket that they're not supposed to do, and
right.
They're the team that's on fire right now.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's all it takes is the hot team. They definitely are fun. They were fun to watch throughout the regionals. It was just one heart attack after another if you were a Fighting Irish fan. But, you know, this is only their third Frozen Four appearance. They fell to Boston College in 2008, and they lost, I believe, to Minnesota Duluth in 2011 semifinals.
Yeah, and this is what, like 15 or 16 for Denver?
Yeah, they have the most experience of everybody in the Frozen Four tournament. The Pioneers are 31-7-4 in the national and they're in the national semifinals for the 15th time. It's a 16 if you count. Right. Actually, if you count 1973 runner-up finish, that would be 16. But they got vacated for infractions. So, yes, technically it's the 15th time for Denver. And the Pioneers have only lost one time in the last 17 games.
Yeah, well, they're a pretty good team. And, you know,
they are. I've watched a couple different games.
Gillette is playing really well in goal. And, yeah, it would be a shocker if they don't win. I would probably think that, you know, after tomorrow's results, it would be them and probably Duluth facing for the national championship, and that would be a fun game on Saturday.
Right. I think my biggest concern about this is that the Minnesota Duluth and Harvard game is first, but the Bulldogs this year have not necessarily played a lot of 60-minute games. They tend to play a lot of overtime games. So there's a very small break because the Denver and Notre Dame game starts like at 8:30 p.m. So you're only, you know, there's a little bit of break. If there goes into overtime, they might actually have to overlap the games. So I think my biggest fear is that I'm going to miss it, like the start of the Denver game, because they're so close together.
Well, they won't start the second game until the first game's done. I mean, that's just the way it works. But
I know, but you know, I was reading that and I'm like,
they
wow.
They are on ESPN too. So,
mm-hmm.
Which you know, so for those of you that always ask, you know, where can I watch the game? You know, you can watch it on ESPN2 this weekend. So, I don't know. It comes down to who gets lucky at the right time. But Duluth just has that. That frame that, you know, that puts them around the goaltender that makes them a better team in close games. You know, they've
right.
won a lot of close games this year. And so it'll be interesting. Harvard's going to have to score in order to beat Duluth. I mean, they're going to score a lot and early and a lot. So, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, whoever scores the first goal probably is going to win that game.
Right. Chris has a comment for you, and he says, remind Jimmy, ECA teams have been to the Frozen Four each of the last 5 years, including two champions and two runner-ups. So ECA teams are no pushover because of their conference.
Yeah. Well, they get an easy route.
They get an easy route.
Somehow I knew
you were going to say that.
The bottom level of that conference is horrid. Top level is not so bad. What has it been, 23 years, I think, since Harvard's been to the finals?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just like people when they give you a hard time. It makes my job
easier. They're not Hockey East at all, and they're not the old WPHA and the old CHA.
I'm kidding.
Not WCHA or CCHA, and there's a reason why they haven't won in a long time, and there's a reason why there's only one. Well, I mean, look, there's only one in the finals. So,
right.
But Harvard can do well.
Yes, they can. That's the matchup I'm so excited to watch.
The interesting thing about this finals for me is that. The teams like Wisconsin, Minnesota, Boston University, Boston College that have all these number one draft picks or high draft picks on their squad, none of them are in there. These are all teams that have older kids on their team. you know, that have, you know, probably went to juniors, you know, in their 20s, not, you know, not the 18, 19 year olds, like, you know, like Boston University has. And
right.
Sometimes experience matters. So
right.
it should be an interesting tournament. I'm kind of looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the Lewis Harbor game. That's to me, that's the big game. Like I said, Notre Dame and Denver should win that game, but I said that Notre Dame should have lost twice already. So
yes, you did. Our faithful listeners know this, and they have yet to bring that up. So, I think the most interesting thing is that in 32 games that Duluth has played that are two goals or that were decided by two or less goals, they are 19-7-6.
Right, which is a pretty good number.
Yep, it's a very good number. So I hope we broke this down enough for Howard, and I'm glad that Howard's listening to our show, and I'm glad he asked that question because that really led into what we wanted to talk about anyway. So that was an excellent question. And don't forget, you know, if you're new to College Hockey or if you're new to our show tonight, the tournament is tomorrow night. And like Jimmy said, it's on ESPN2, and it starts at 6:30 my time, 5:30 Jimmy's time, Central Standard. No, it's 5 p.m. Eastern, and 8:30 p.m. Eastern is the second game, which is Denver and Notre Dame. And then on Saturday
right.
is when the championship game is, and that's at 7 p.m., and that's actually on ESPN. And I will put a reminder up tomorrow, too, on our Facebook page for you guys that want to know. All right. We're kind of flipping around tonight, but it's always fun because we never really plan our shows. So.
No, we never really do.
So sticking with the college topic here, there was a question that came in last week that we ran out of time and did not get to. And that came from Nikki. And she specifically pointed you out, Jimmy. She said, Jimmy, you had said earlier in the college season that Penn State was overrated. After the regionals, do you still feel the same?
No, they beat one rated team. I think three in the season. So, no, I don't think I misread that at all.
Right.
They have some really good players on that club, and they'll probably do better next year. But when you play teams that are not very good for the rest of your, for most of your season, and build your resume on that, it's tough to take you for being good. You know, at one point they were the number one rated team in the country, which I thought was ridiculous, and they went into the tournament rated 11th. Granted, they won the first one, and then they got beat the second one. But, you know, number 12, which is behind them, is still in the tournament, and they're not. So,
right.
No, I don't think that they're not overrated. You can play the Pathies of the world and pad your schedule and make it look like you're good. But when you get to the point where you have to play rated teams and you can't beat them, then no, you're not very good.
Yep. I can't disagree with you on that. They did. I thought they went further in the tournament than I expected them to. But I kind of agree with you. I think they're still a middle-of-the-pack team. You know, they made the tournament, which is fabulous, nothing to be disappointed about. But when it comes to compared down to the other teams that are in the Frozen Four and we're in the regionals, you know, I was surprised that Penn State actually won their first game.
Well, they've only been Division I team for 6 years now. And
right.
The fact that they've done as well as they have is commendable. And, you know, I don't want to put them down for that, but they're not at the level that they will be at. And trust me, they will be at that level. And going to be fun, you know. And, you know, the Big Ten next year will be fun when Notre Dame adds into the Big Ten, make it the Big, seven?
Right.
That'll be fun when you have, you know, that level of talent. And it just keeps getting better and better. So, you know, the Big Ten's a new conference. And it's going to take some time for that conference to, I guess, grow, you know. It's like, well, the NCHC kind of was a hybrid of the CCHC and the WCHA, the old WCHA. So they took off in a hurry. The Big Ten Conference is building in a hurry. So it's going to be fun. They need to get a couple more teams in there to be more competitive. But to make a short story long, I think Penn State's going to be decent next year. They have a lot of seniors on the team this year. They're probably not going to be as good out of the gate next year, but they have some outstanding freshmen that are playing on that team this year. And I think they're going to, I really think Penn State's going to be better next year than they are this year.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they have a lot of young guys still, like underclassmen. So I'm excited to see them, and I've tried to con my husband into taking me to a Penn State game next year. So we'll see how that goes. Because you know, next Friday is my big AHL game, and I'm so excited about it. So, and
no,
not
that,
next
that's
week.
That's the
Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins. And
okay.
We're going to go see them play the Hershey Bears. That should be fun because my husband's Cap fan.
It won't be as much fun because half of that team is playing on the Penguins right now.
Yeah, I know. I'm kind of hopeful that some of the Penguins injured players come back so that maybe some of these younger guys can go back down and I can actually recognize names. But I am super excited about it. It will be my very first AHL game, so I can't wait to talk about that a little bit. And they made the playoffs again this year, the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins. And this is their 15th consecutive playoff. So, and they lead the AHL in that, which is really cool. Since Detroit didn't make it, the Penguins with their 11th consecutive playoff this year now hold the record in the NHL, so nothing compared to Detroit. Nothing, and it won't be. But it's just kind of exciting to have both your AHL team and your Major League team. Have the leading. How do I want to say this? Leading with the most consecutive playoff berths. So I'm very excited about it. But we have about 15, 20 minutes left here. So I know you specifically wanted to talk about the Women's World Cup tournament. Did I lose you?
No, I'm still here. No.
Okay.
it's one of those deals where there's a lot of, I don't know what you say, a lot of politics involved in as to whether or not they were going to make it into the tournament and
right.
Who was going to play.
Right.
But they made it in. So.
They did. And they are doing very well.
Well, they're destroying people.
Right. I think the biggest thing was Finland actually upset Canada 4-3 on Saturday.
Well, and Finland plays Canada again now.
I saw that.
They beat Sweden. So that will be interesting. In the U.S. plays Germany.
Correct.
So, now, Germany will be in the top four, which they've never been before. The highest they've ever finished before is fifth.
Oh,
so
wow.
That'll put them in the top four, guaranteed entry next year. So it's so goofy the way the IIHF thank you, does that. The way they seed teams and the way the playoffs work or what have you. But, yeah, Canada could lose to Finland and lose their number two spot. And
right. That
would be interesting down the future. So,
yeah, and for those that missed Monday night's game, the U.S. played Finland, and this was to secure the top seed for the quote-unquote knockout round in the Women's Hockey World Championship. Hannah Brandt was the one that scored with 7:35 remaining in the game. The U.S. ended up beating Finland 5-3, and so they secured the top seed for the knockout round. And as Jimmy said, they will play Germany tomorrow night, if I'm not mistaken, because tomorrow night's the semifinals.
That is correct. We'll actually be tomorrow. I don't know what time it is tomorrow, but it's, you know, they're playing in Plymouth, so it should be right around 5-6 o'clock. So
it's a
watchable game.
I'm gonna have to watch a game on my phone and a game on my TV so I can.
And probably one on your computer, dear.
Probably. And I will post, because I found the link today where the game's actually going to be shown. So I will post that link tomorrow on the Stay Out of My Crease Facebook page if anybody is interested in watching that. But, yeah, this has been a very interesting tournament. Like I said, I think the biggest shock was Finland upsetting Canada.
Well, in Finland, you know, Finland did beat Canada and, you know, so did the U.S., but, you know, Canada coming in, it's kind of goofy the way the IIHF ranks the teams and who gets in, who gets automatic bids in. But even though Canada lost twice, they still got the semifinal bid by winning once, which is all they had to do. So, it should be interesting. And the thing to remember is that, you know, a lot of these girls have been playing the same amount of time as the men do. And
they
play just as hard as the men do. And when their, you know, college hockey days are over, you know, some of them are coming from college, but most of them are already out of college. This is what they got. So they're playing for everything they have. And it's roughneck, you know.
Right.
And it's fun to watch. So if you can pick up the streaming that Kimmy gives you, you know, go ahead and do that. It's good hockey. It's probably better hockey than you'll see until maybe you see the playoffs and probably the third round of the playoffs in the NHL, just because they play that hard.
Right. And, you know, it's a different type of game, like Jimmy said. So when you do watch it, if you choose to, I think you'll instantly fall in love with it just because it is a little bit different than what you're used to watching. And it's fast-paced. You know, if you like your games fast-paced, it's that. You know, it's not as nearly as physical at times, but it's a lot of fun. And, you know, before the tournament started, the smart money was on Canada to win the gold. But, you know, they lost their first game to the U.S., their second game to Finland, so they started out the tournament 0-2. So it should be interesting. I mean, they're not out of it. I don't think, and don't quote me on this, Jimmy, you can correct me, I don't think they are out of the gold medal point-wise yet, but it's not looking very good for them.
Well, they still have a chance. They have to beat Finland. Smart money has never been on Canada, by the way. Unless you're betting somewhere different. The U.S. have won 7 of the last 8, like 3 or 4 in a row.
Well, the article lied.
Yeah, exactly. Well, in women's hockey, the U.S. pretty much dominates. You know, I mean, they beat the Russians 7-0. They beat the Canadians, like, I think, 2 or 3-0, and beat the Finns 5-3. So it's that's clearly a team always to beat. Wow, the Canadians beat Russia 8-0 too. So apparently Russia's
right.
Not very good this year. They'll probably be Group B at best. Tomorrow, the Czech Republic plays Switzerland for the relegation game.
Oh, okay. And that's the game that determines whether or not they can come back next year.
Correct. And
right?
they play twice. Well, I just remembered, I just trying to see if you remember from juniors last, you know, couple months ago, so.
Yeah, I was going to say, wait, I watched the World Cup. I was all attached to the World Cup of Hockey this year for the men's side because it was the only hockey on.
Mm-hmm.
And I had texted Jimmy like a week before, and I'm like, is this ever going to start? I miss watching hockey. So,
well, and the way it works is there's 8 teams that get in, and the top 4 stay in the top 4, and then out of the bottom 4, there is one that leaves, and then there's another tournament that happens, and the winner of that tournament gets into the World Championship the next year. So,
right.
Whoever loses, or, you know, so to speak, between the Czechs and the Swiss is going to be out, and there'll be another team that comes in next year.
Right. Yep. So, and, you know, it's basically the same format if you watch the World Cup earlier in September of last year, for the NHL players that was sanctioned by the NHL.
Yeah.
I know we have...
They paid for that.
Right.
Sorry.
No, you're fine.
I'm still bitter about that.
I know you are. I know. But we have about 5 minutes left, so I just kind of wanted to... There was some breaking news that kind of happened later this afternoon and earlier this evening. So I just kind of wanted to touch on that a little bit. I know I have a lot of Penguin fan base, so if you haven't heard yet, Chris Letang is not going to be back for the playoffs. He is having surgery on a herniated disc in his neck, so he is actually out 4 to 6 months. So Chris Letang may not even start the season next year, but he should be back shortly after the season starts. They're looking around the October, late October timeframe, last I heard. So it's a big blow for the Penguins. You know, he was very, very important in the Stanley Cup playoffs last year. But I also look at the fact that the Penguins have played without him the last two months almost, and they've done okay. They're a bunch of young kids that are trying to make a name for themselves, and they're doing a very good job of it. So I don't hit button and don't jump off bridges.
Well, and the thing with him, though, is he had, like, what, 23 minutes of ice time every game, maybe 24
mm-hmm.
minutes of ice time every time. And he scored the
right.
cup-winning goal in Game 6 and
correct.
He, or 5 or 6 or whatever it was.
Six.
He's I mean, he's good. But at the same time, you know, he's a better forward than he is a defenseman.
I knew you were going to say that.
the better players that you have now playing defense for Pittsburgh are probably better.
Brian Dumoulin.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Schultz. Yeah.
Yes, they're probably better defense. They're probably better defensemen. However, you need an offensive defenseman on your team, one that's going to be able to run the point and on the power play, and you need somebody that's going to be able to, you know, push the puck in and, you know, dive in and not be afraid to,
I know what you're saying, and, you know, Justin Schultz has really stepped up to that role. His time on ice is on the higher side. He does play a lot of time, and he's been playing the point. You know, he is kind of the offensive-minded defenseman that you're talking about, and Chris Letang. He's not necessarily as good as Letang is at it, but he's serviceable, is the best way to put it. And, you know,
right.
I think,
Letang is not a defenseman, and you're not losing anything on defense from him, from losing him. You know, and like I said, he plays more on offense than he does on defense. So I don't necessarily understand where all of this is coming from as far as where losing him is a big deal.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to say that because I know I have a lot of fan base that listens, and I thank them greatly for it. You know, they always give me great input. And I know they like the show because they keep coming back. So, the Washington Capitals won their game tonight, so congratulations to the Washington Capitals on their President's Trophy again this year. Interesting stat on that. No team has ever won 3 President's Cups and not made the Stanley Cup Final.
Correct.
Or 3 in a row, something like
that. And the last team to win the Cup since winning the President's Trophy was 2013. Can you name that club?
That was Chicago.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
I just stop and think because I'm looking every other year. No, I'm just kidding. on a more serious note, and, you know, I hate to end with serious notes and stuff, but Kyle Okposo. Jimmy will say that it's pronounced differently, but
Okposo, that's what he was pronounced right. When he was lived here. So,
right. Unfortunately, he is in what they call neuro ICU. There is no updates or anything on his condition, but according to Dan Balsma, whatever, the coach for the Sabres, it's a very touch and go situation and very concerning. And that's all that I've heard personally. I don't know if Jimmy's heard more up there, but when we do find out details, we'll post it to our pages. And
yeah,
so everybody,
I have not heard anything about Kyle yet. He's obviously been a Minnesotan, and so we'll track it here very, very closely, but that's kind of sad or kind of a shame or what have you. And hopefully he does, you know, recover very well. Obviously he's out for the rest of the year, and
right.
know, hopefully he can, you know, rehab and get back to life, and, you know, and
right.
if his life comes back to hockey, then, you know, that's good too. But, you know, the most important thing for him is getting back to life.
Exactly. And, you know, I said it on a public Pens page today. There was a bunch of inappropriate comments about Letang. And then when I read the NHL briefing on Kyle Okposo this afternoon, or this evening, there's still, you know, some of the, I call them ignorant comments. I don't think they really mean them to be mean, but everybody has to remember these guys are human beings and they have families and they have kids and wives and, you know, people that love them. They love the sport, but at some point you have to remember that they're humans. These guys are not robots. So,
And you forget because they're such bruisers most of the time out on the ice that you
mm-hmm.
forget that, you know, that they're going to pick their little kid up, you know, their 3 or 4 year old kid up at the end of the day and you know, and go to, you know, Perkins or Denny's or what have you and, you know, have dinner or have breakfast or what have you. And they're just the same as you and I. They just have to make a lot more money. And just because they check that guy into the board doesn't make them a bad person.
Right. Right. You know, and I can't stress that enough. Like, I got so irritated with the comments that I just kind of logged off Facebook for a little bit because it did get to me. And I'm not a person that things get to very often, but, you know, I know these guys have families that love them and stuff like that. And, you know, I just want our fan base that follow us to know, you know, that's something you need to look at too. It's that these guys are not robots. They're not guys that can go to a hyperbaric chamber and just regenerate, you know, things like that. These guys, the recovery time for some of these injuries is a long time, and it's a patience thing. That's why they have the AHL that they can pull players up from. And it's a great system, you know. But, yeah, definitely we'll keep everybody posted on injuries and things like that. Next week, I guess we'll wrap up the Frozen Four final. We'll talk about that. NHL playoffs start next Wednesday night, so we will definitely be talking NHL. Not sure how the live show's going yet. I haven't heard a definite date from Smoketown yet, but we're still kind of working on that. So if you're in the local Frederick, Maryland area, you know, you can come out to Smoketown. I'll be posting that information once I get it to Facebook and Twitter. And then I promise we will get to the rest of the questions next week. And I know Jimmy wants to talk about Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews of the Leafs too. So we'll get to that too. And I think that's about it, unless you have anything else, Jimmy.
Oh, nothing else. Have a good week.
Thank you. You too. And thanks, everybody, for listening. Great show. Thank you for the callers that called in, Chris and Farmer. I know a couple of our Canadian fans were listening to us and posting on either my wall or the Facebook page. So I hope I got all your questions and comments read. If not, you know, hit me up on Facebook Messenger or on the page Messenger, and I'll get to those next week too. So everybody have a great week. We will see you back here next week.